Man never invented the gospel. It is completely opposite to anything that the human mind could ever have devised. In view of that statement, I'd like to share with you what we might call some salvation surprises. First, it might surprise you to learn that your sins are not as apt to keep you from Christ as your self-righteousness. It takes a long time for people to learn that Christ didn't die for good people, but for sinners. Only lost people can be saved. The fact that we are sinners does not cut us off from God's benefits, but rather it makes us eligible for them. He did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The worst thing about a man is his self-righteousness, because it hides from him his need of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees trusted in their own imagined goodness. As a result, they were left outside the kingdom while the harlots and publicans crowded in. Self-righteousness keeps people from coming to Christ. Salvation is for those who will confess and acknowledge their guilt before a holy God. Second, you don't have to clean up your life before coming to the Lord Jesus. In fact, you could not clean it up if you wanted to. If you could, then you would be your own savior. But the more you try to reform, you know from experience, the worse you get. The gospel does not tell you to turn over a new leaf. Before you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it tells you to come to him in all your sin, all your misery, all your wretchedness. Come just as you are. You trust him. He'll do the saving. Christ must save, and he alone. Thirdly, you cannot buy or deserve salvation. God gives eternal life as a free gift to those who receive his Son by faith. You cannot earn or merit a gift. It is strictly a matter of grace and love on the part of the giver. If you could somehow purchase or deserve salvation, then there would be two saviors, you and the Lord Jesus. This is impossible. If so, when you got to heaven, you could brag about it. This is impossible. You would also be adding to the finished work of Christ, and this is impossible. For the scripture tells us, now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The fourth surprise is, there are no degrees of fitness for heaven. This will come as a tremendous shock to many religious people, but it's absolutely true. There are no degrees of fitness for heaven. No believer is more fit for heaven than any other believer. Some may live more godly, more separated lives than others, but that does not affect their eligibility for heaven. We read that God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that is the basis of going to heaven. That's the basis of eternal life, the basis of salvation. Christ died for us, the ungodly. Indeed, we ought to live godly lives in Christ, but we do that because we are saved, in appreciation for what he has done for us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, a person is either in Christ or he's not. If he's in Christ, he's as fit for heaven as God can make him. And God accepts us in his beloved Son. Christians stand before God in all the acceptability of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's impossible to improve on that standing. Some Christians will enjoy heaven more than others, but none will be any more fit, because again, our fitness is based upon his work, his redemptive work in the shedding of his blood at Calvary's cross. The fifth surprise I'd like to share with you is that it's not a matter of the amount of faith you have that counts. In any given airline flight, there are all degrees of faith aboard the plane. Some worry all the while, and others sleep till they get to their destination. It became a matter of the trustworthiness of the plane and the pilot, and not your faith in the plane or the pilot. So it's not a matter of how much faith you have, but whether your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one and only worthy Savior. Friend, in closing, may I suggest that today you make sure your faith is in the Lord Jesus. Amen.